Proverbs 31 is where we're going this morning. And I'm actually going to help you with it, not scare you to death with it, good Lord willing. For Mother's Day, but for all women. So mothers are by definition women. Let's just square that away right now. And if you'll join me as I read this portion of Proverbs to you, let me begin by just reading verse 1, and then I'll skip to verse 10 through verse 31 if you'll allow me. It's good to know where this comes from. It's from a mother. These are words of wisdom from a mother. Verse 1, chapter 31, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. Now follow along as I read verse 10 through 31. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, which bring her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord God in heaven, you who made wisdom, and you who give wisdom, give us wisdom today from these words of the mother of King Lemuel. Not just to women alone, but to men as well. And let us see how those go together. Lord, may we be blessed by this word and not overwhelmed. But Lord, may we be whelmed where it's needed, but not overcome. And we pray to be able to example those things which you would have us do as women and as men, as mothers, as fathers, as husbands, and as wives. Thank you for this word. Help me to preach it. Help your people to listen and hear. And may you be glorified in the results. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Mother's Day in the year 2021. Is it so different from any other year? Is motherhood any different in 2021 than in 1821? In 401? In 101? In 1? It's Mother's Day. And there have been mothers since Eve. And motherhood is spoken of in the Bible, and it is synonymous with wifery, if you allow me to use that term, with being a wife, to be a wife and mother. And it should come in that order. The question comes, who can find a virtuous wife? King Lemuel's mother said these words, who can find a virtuous wife? What is virtuous anyway? Do we even talk in terms of virtue in our day? Do we use that word? Oh, what a virtuous woman. Virtue. I've heard patience is a virtue. What makes it virtuous? It's virtuous because it is praiseworthy. It is a worthy action to be patient. But a virtuous wife, so in all that she does, she's worthy of praise. Sources of those praise, not herself. Sources of those praise, her husband, her children. But most importantly of all, what is praiseworthy by the standards of God? What pleases God? So today we're looking at what would please God in a wife. What would a mother want for her son in a wife? But who can find a virtuous wife? Is anybody struck with this? Is this rhetorical? Does this demand that we say, no one? Is this the impossibility? And some of you ladies who have read this and have gone through this, and perhaps many times in your life, may be overcome by the reading of Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. Amen? Because this gal is something. Wowee. Who can find a virtuous wife like Proverbs 31? You know, if you were really wise, you would tell somebody, never read this at my funeral. Right? Because somebody'd know. Oops. And some of you are saying, you can't say that in church. Here is a question. What is the answer? Well, I'm saving that till the end. I've learned a few things. Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. It's an outline. It outlines for us the qualities of a virtuous, or if you will, a praiseworthy wife, so that we may point to these qualities as being both admirable and desirable qualities in a wife. If you will, they can be pursued, they can be looked for, they can be measured, they are standards. But the answer to the question posed in verse 10, the first portion of it, who can find a virtuous wife, is, well, it's answered only after an examination of the text. Why don't you join me this morning, mothers, fathers, men, women, boys and girls, as we note, yes, listen for it, the 16 qualities of a virtuous wife. 16 qualities of a virtuous wife, and then find the answer to this question, who can find a virtuous wife? Here we go. Happy Mother's Day. Number one, the value of a virtuous wife. A virtuous wife is valuable. The value of a virtuous wife. Who can find a virtuous wife? Lemuel's mother told him, for her worth is far above rubies. Precious stones are of lesser value than the finding of a virtuous wife. There is a richness, a riches, that is garnered by any man who finds for himself a praiseworthy wife. She who pleases God certainly should please her man, and certainly is a pleasure, and worth more than monetary value. You can't put a price on her, is what the Bible is saying. So the finding of this is finding of something that is worth more than what we can measure in earthly things. It's above the precious stones of rubies. Though they be bright, though they are sparkle, though they have a depth and they have a luster, yet a virtuous wife is above all of those things. So both on the man's side, he is to consider that of the highest value, and so should a wife. We value many things in this world, don't we? But a man should value his wife above all. And a woman should desire to be valuable to her husband by being virtuous. As I told you along the way, there's no untying husband from wife or wife from husband. There's a synergy here, and I believe that will help lead you to the answer, who can find a virtuous wife? Number two, the security of a virtuous wife. First, a wife that is virtuous is valuable. And second, she gives security, the security of a virtuous wife, verse 11. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. Safely, I like how these words are coupled together. Safely trusts her. Safely. There is no insecurity. What is the definition of most people in most relationships in the world today? Would we call it security? Or would we, on the other side, notice that it seems to be there is a rampant insecurity in the relationships, particularly married relationships? And if you've been married long enough, you know that there's a truism here, that you can be so close, so tied, so walking together, one thing happens, and all of a sudden, he doesn't love me! She hates my guts! Insecurity! And though none of you here do anything or say anything like that, you know people who do. Immediately insecure. To be insecure in your position, in your place where you hold what you think is value to them. It can plague the mind. For a husband, if he is insecure in his wife, it distracts him from the focus of his entire duties in life. His work, his responsibilities, and those things that he would achieve, undermined by the insecurity. So having a wife in which he can securely trust, safely trust, gives him strength, and it comes from her. Why doesn't the bum just get going? Because he needs a wife in whom he can safely trust. And you'll notice how this goes together. I separated this verse into two parts because the security of a virtuous wife goes to point three, the profitability of a virtuous wife. The profitability of a virtuous wife. And maybe that's a word that might not sound great to you, but listen to the words of the text. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. No lack of gain. Well, what's gain? Are you gainfully employed? You know the term, to be gained, to gain something. He is in a secure position, and I believe it goes to the point that because he can trust her and he is safe with her, he can focus on what he needs to focus on in his job of providing for her. Many a man's provision has been undermined by a wife he cannot trust, and vice versa. His insecurity plagues him, and he needs to trust her. this man can depend on her and then concentrate on caring for her. Working hard, giving attention to those things that need attention, and working with excellence. I'm not going to say a lot about any of these points because there are 16 and a few subpoints. This is an overview. I'm not exhausting all that can be gleaned from these words, but I want you to see the full picture. The value of a virtuous wife, the security of a virtuous wife, the profitability of a virtuous wife, and now number 4, the consistency of a virtuous wife, verse 12. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now that is a wonderful thing to do him good and not evil. And most of us start that way. Right? You're getting married. Da, 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 da. Down you go. White dresses, tuxedos, suits, whatever you got. Friends, family. Oh, look at them. They're so wonderful. There's going to be such a great couple. And he's focused on her and she's focused on him. And they want to do good to each other and not evil. And then we read the next part of the verse. All the days of her life. Let me just say, that's a long time. That's every day, hence consistently. She consistently does him good and not evil all the days of his life. Good in the Hebrew, very simple word, tov. Didn't sound that great. Good sounds better than tov, doesn't it? But perhaps if you were Hebrew, tov would sound good. But it means not just good, like gives him goodies, which I think is good, but to give him graciously those things which he does not necessarily always, wait for it, deserve. She does him good even if the bum doesn't deserve it. Don't you find that attached sometimes? A reciprocity with goodness. If he does good to me, then I'll do good to him. She does good to me, then I'll do good back. Wrong, double wrong, triple wrong. Good is gracious. Whether he deserves it or not, she does him good and not evil. Evil, ra'ah in the Hebrew. To trouble him. To distress morally or naturally or cause mischief. Ra'ah. You see it. You feel it. It gets under the skin and in the bones. The Proverbs say, a contentious wife is like a constant dripping. And it's better to live on the corner of a housetop than to live with her. This would be the opposite of that. Consistently doing good is a virtue for a wife. Number 5, the diligence of a virtuous wife. Verses 13 and 14. Let's read them together. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. Isn't that picturesque speech? Metaphorical, figurative, yet defining those things which we all know. And even look at the realm in which you're going to find this woman working. She seeks wool and flax to make things herself. These are the crude elements from which clothing, materials, baskets, etc. are made in the home. And she seeks them. She's diligent to go and to find the wool and the flax that she needs and not just leave it there. Well, there it is in a pile in the corner. Amazon brought it. There you go. Help yourself. Rather, there's something she does with it and willingly works with her hands. The virtue of a mother, of this wife that can become the mother, for children are in this text, willingly works. I want to work. Wanting to work is something that must be imparted to our children and our children's children as a virtue. to go and seek and then to make. And she's even going afar for it. She is like the merchant ships, listen, who she brings her food from afar. You know, if you put this in the modern concept, you would say, well, she's a bargain hunter. She finds the best deals and seeks the best quality. Now, guys, we're not so good at this in general, and some of you may be. But I myself do not clip coupons. Do not go and do it online either. However that's done, I understand there's a way to do it. I don't want to. I hate it. And I'm so glad if somebody else does it. Now, that doesn't mean I'm being virtuous by saying that. I'm being honest. But how delightful it is that someone else can do that for you, to provide those things. So there should be like a thankfulness for that and an outstanding declaration that it's a good thing that she would employ herself in that. But it is, well, let's just say the ship sounds a whole lot better than it looks. It's great to put it in these metaphorical terms, but going grocery shopping doesn't sound quite as neat as she is like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar, from Winco and Costco and Rosauer's and Albertson's. And we have the finest delicacies. It's just everyday life. It's the week. But it is to be placed in the category of a virtuous woman. She cares about quality. She puts an effort into it and will bring and go any distance to get what is needed. And that helps him and her, the family. I must move on. Number 6. The dedication of a virtuous wife, verse 15. The dedication of a virtuous wife. She also rises while it is yet night. Should I stop there or keep reading? And provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. Does this mean a virtuous wife gets up early? Yes! I didn't write these words. I said, well, I'm not a morning person. Well, a virtuous wife is. That's just what it says. Some of you will be easier for. Some of you will find your verse later when you'd say, I'm not a night person, but we're not there yet. She also rises as it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. Now, I want you to do something right here, and it's something I do with young couples who are getting married, and particularly young couples who've been raised in Christian homes, and have this as their standard for seeking a wife if he's a man, and a whole lot of other ones if she's a woman seeking the opposite. But in this case, I say to the man, did you notice her financial condition? She has in her house maidservants. Are you getting this? Do you have maidservants? No, then you are probably not to the level of the Proverbs 31 wife yet, nor has your husband gotten you to that level of wealth and wherewithal that you have maidservants in your house. The point here is, when you're first married, you don't have a Proverbs 31 wife yet. Until you've provided for her in this way, she can't even do this part. I'm starting to reveal my answer. She also rises while it is yet night. That you can do. That is a dedication to preparation for the day. And notice there's an important element involved here. It's not hard. It's food. 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 Gals, if you want to please men, food's involved. I'm just saying, it's in the Bible. There's other things involved. I'm not saying this is everything. But food's involved, and it's in the Bible. And notice also, she who has the servants serves the servants. There is a humility of preparation and even making her household ready for those who will serve her later in the day by making sure they are fed. Main point, she's not lazy and she knows what everyone needs and she gets up early to provide it. Once again, I say, I'm not here to do you harm, ladies, nor to exasperate you, nor to overwhelm you. I'm here to help. And I'm not from the government. Number 7. The enterprise of a virtuous wife. The enterprise of a virtuous wife, verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. This is the verse that is taken out by the modern career woman of our day to say, see, I can do what I want. Let's remember it sits in a context. You've just gotten up and made breakfast for everyone in the previous verse. Now you get to consider a field and buy it, which necessitates, number 1, the economic wherewithal to do so. Number 2, a husband who safely trusts in you and will trust you with the wherewithal to do it, and you know you can. And then do what he thinks you will know is best to do. This doesn't mean you get to be a career woman and ignore your family. Amen? Because that's taking it out of context. In context, it's part of what she does. And by the way, you don't do this when you're first married. You have to get here first. 8. The exercise of a virtuous woman. Yes, here we are. Pilates class is coming. The exercise of a virtuous woman. Now, verse 17. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. No tender flower here. No woman who is just good for perfumes and frilly dresses. I didn't say it, Rock did. She strengthens. It can be mental, but here the arm is used, so physical. But it also has the connotation of being courageous. Courageous. She's brave. She girds herself with courage. Moses used this word, it's used of Moses when he prepared Joshua to take his place. He strengthened Joshua's heart, gave him courage. In Exodus, we find this word strength used as well, of God. She girds herself with strength. She strengthens her arms. The connotation does have to deal with a God who is invisible, yet uses the anthropomorphism of having an arm with which he works to do his great and mighty deeds. Exodus 6:6, you don't have to turn there, but it says of God, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. Strength. She's strong of arm. Not like Rosie the Riveter, look, my arm's as big as a man's and I can do a man's job. Has none of those connotations. No, you can't do a man's job. And by the way, if you're men, you can't do a woman's job either. I know I am just going against the whole flow here, but I didn't write this stuff. I believe this stuff. She is strong. This word strength is used of David when he danced before the Lord with all his might. Men, we should admire strength in a woman, courage in a woman, for they have much in many cases. And if they don't have much, we must consider how we might strengthen them in the Lord. And that she might strengthen herself in the Lord and strengthen her arms so that she might do what the Lord would have her do courageously. For in this world, to live the Proverbs 31 wife, you will have blowback from the world system who wants you to live the way they live so that you can authenticate the life of the worldly woman who does not love God and is not part of his plan, and they want you to join them in it, and then you will no longer be a virtuous wife. I must move on. Number 9, the ethic of a virtuous wife. The ethic of a virtuous wife, verses 18 and 19. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. There it is. Early up, late down. I told you, some don't like to rise early, and some don't like to stay up late, but this gal does both. She perceives her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She does, if you will, quality work, and she measures her own work. Her work ethic is that she gives a very astute assessment to how she is doing with the work that she produces. If you will, she assesses herself in order to improve the quality of what she does. And then she works hard and long hours. Her lamp does not go out by night. Now, am I saying, well, Pastor said I can't lay around in bed. I got to get up early and I have to stay up all night. No, I didn't say that. I'm saying her example is she gets up early to do her work and then she gets her work done even if she has to stay up late, because she's wanting to do good work. There will be effort in being a virtuous wife. It's not easy. And men, we should appreciate it, especially on Mother's Day. But we should appreciate it more than that, and that's another verse, but I will get there. A note, verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and holds, her hand holds the spindle. Now, is this literal? You got to go find a distaff and a spindle, and then you'll be biblical. Or is it about what was the common thing to be about in the preparation? We have seen her going out and finding those things, even from afar, and wool and flax. And now with wool, if you're going to take wool and if you're going to use it for anything, clothing, rugs, tapestries, etc., you are going to have to do something with the raw wool. Number one, find good wool for the right purpose. And then it has to be spun. It has to be spun into the yarn that is made, and that's where the very crude implements of the distaff and the spindle come in. The distaff is that thing upon which the raw wool is held. And the spindle, now we're not looking at a spinning wheel here. That's not in view. Spinning wheels came later. To spin it for you, you used to have a spindle and you had to spin sometimes a round stone upon which the wool was attached, and you would gradually spin with your fingers by the night lamp and get another strand of yarn. Wee fun. I can buy that with one click on Amazon to make clothing. Our lives are easier than theirs, but she did it. Let's just say she worked long and hard. Number 10. The charity of a virtuous wife. The charity of a virtuous wife. Excuse me. Verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. How do you give? From one hand to another. What is charity? When you give to those who are needy what they need, to the poor. You know, years ago, almost in an age past, almost every church had a group of women, and they were called by this title, the Ladies' Aid Society. And they would join together to give aid to the poor and needy of the community. Why don't we have those anymore? Did Proverbs 31 no longer hold sway? Verse 20? No. Let me answer that for you. You are too busy. Too busy to do it. Now let me tell you what I also tell to the young couples, and I look directly at the man, so men, I look at you. If she's too busy, it's your fault. You're managing your household poorly. Remember, a man of God who can be an elder must manage his own house well. If you want a virtuous wife who can give charitably, she needs time and resources allocated to this specific task. But the woman herself must have a spirit of generosity, of charity, and that must be developed because it is not necessarily natural to a woman's state of mind. Uh-oh, Pastor, be careful. Be careful. We all know that on Father's Day you can nail the men and survive, but if you nail the women on Mother's Day, you're as good as dead. Generosity. Because one of the things that God has put into the heart of women is to build a safe nest for her household. We're going to get to that verse. It's the next verse. I think it's very interesting that charity comes before verse 21. Because you're going to want to keep things to keep safe. And sometimes you need your husband to say, take this and use it for your charity work. But shouldn't we save that? You're always wanting to give things away. Give it. Learning to be generous is good for men and for women. So the man has to provide for it and the woman disperse it. Very important. Let me move on to verse 21. The preparations of a virtuous wife. She is not, here's a key word, not afraid of snow for her household. But what if I have to give everything away? I didn't say everything, just be generous. She's also prepared. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household, listen, is clothed with scarlet. She thinks ahead. She plans for everyone's needs, even ahead of season. She's got a plan and she's putting it in place and she's getting it done. But let me note again what color they are wearing in our text and in the ancient world. This is an expensive color, red. The only more expensive color is purple. What two colors are hard to dye and get to stay in clothing, women? Red and purple. Even today. If they're clothed in that, that means the husband is providing that, and she has made sure they all have that, and so they're at a social strata where they can afford to find stuff. This isn't newlyweds, unless they're very, very wealthy indeed. Off we go. The presentation of a virtuous wife. She makes tapestry for herself, verse 22. Her clothing is fine linen, and here's another color, Purple. We have reds and purples. So we had the strong thing. Some women might get onto that. See, I've got to be in the gym. I've got to be strong. I've got to do all those things. But I'm a working girl, and there's no need for me to spruce up my hair, my clothes, or anything like that. Take me as I am, bub. That's just what you got. I'm a working woman. No, this woman decorates the house and herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. It's not dowdy, plain, can we say gingham in church. It's okay to wear it, but I hope there's more to come. There's pride here in her hard work, if you will, the good kind, where she works hard, she does quality work, and then she makes good things for her family and for herself. She doesn't deny herself everything in some sort of false humility. So ladies, if you provide it for your family, provide it for yourselves. Did you hear that, dear? It's from the pastor. But sometimes, men, we need to command them to go buy some stuff if they're not good at doing that. But if they're too good at doing that, then we must command them not to buy so much stuff. And that's all the marriage counseling I can give you on this verse at this time. There's still a few more to go. The rank of a virtuous woman, not the rancor, the rank or status of a virtuous woman, verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. This also tells you about now the position and the time of life of this Proverbs 31 man and woman that King Lemuel's mother is now applying. This is not the early and young. No young men sat at the gates, for the men who sat at the gates were the older, mature men of status, usually of some wealth and success, and those who would judge matters at the gates of the city. He has a status, notice his status, notice his status is her status. This flies in the face of the independent ideas of marriage in our day today. Sometimes you hear, well, she needs to have a life of her own. That's wrong. They will also say, well, she needs to have something that's totally independent and just her own. False. Those are lies straight from the pit, and they will separate more people than they keep married, and they will create more disgruntlement and disgrace than you can imagine, and there's no virtue in those ideas. The two, the Bible says, shall become one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, equal, inseparable. Husband and wife and God the Father. Two are one, equal, yet with two different roles. Your status is her status. Her status is your status. Trying to bury your wife and make her feel like she's the worst person in the world does not increase your status. You look like the boar that you are. I had another word there. I threw it out. I chose an older one because it fits. Look it up. You raise her up by your status and by your mouth, and she raises you up so that you can sit at the gate. For men who are wise in their home do not have an unruly wife at home, nor can they be pastors, for pastors must rule their own house well. The rank. She gains status from her husband's position. He gains status from hers. Enough said. 14. We're homing in on it. The business of a virtuous wife. The business of a virtuous wife, verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. She is working. She's enterprising. She's even bringing in money. So we can't say that women should never work, can we? But we can say that they work within the confines, they work within the reference place of the home, the family, and the husband. And let me say, if she can't get the prior priorities finished, she's got no business making sashes and selling them. And the husband ought to know that. And by the way, to make these things, did you forget who she has in her house? Maid servants. So now make sure lunch is on, these are cleaned, the house is done, and that kind of thing. I've got to go look at a field, and then I'm going to get to some sash buying stuff, and I'll be back. None of you here live under that. You might know people that have some maid servants, but I know you. No one here does. So be realistic when you read Proverbs 31. This is some of my help, by the way. You can't do everything she does without having everything she has. Okay, I'm moving on. 15, the rewards of a virtuous wife. Now the real help comes. Now the real help comes for you this morning. If you're overwhelmed or at least whelmed, now, the rewards of a virtuous wife. And these are also qualities. Because she is now going to be talked about. Verses 25 through 29. Let me start with verse 25. The rewards of a virtuous wife. A in your notes. Strength, honor, and rejoicing. Verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. From doing all that she does and being virtuous as she is she gets stronger. Morally, physically, spiritually. And she's clothed in it. So you can put on a fine dress, but you can't fake strength. She's a strong woman. When difficulty comes, she doesn't fold up like a lawn chair. She's strong. She's quality. That chair will hold you. She's strong. She's honorable. They give her honor, and she's honor is due her, and she wears it not with pride, but she wears it well. And notice, she shall rejoice when? In time to come. What tense would that be? I think future. Not that there isn't rejoicing in the day and in what she does, but we all are waiting for future rejoicing, and she does as well. That shows you where her hope is. Not necessarily in the mendacity of every day, but in the Lord to come. Letter B, the rewards of a virtuous wife are B, wisdom and kindness. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom. And on her tongue is the law of kindness. I find it so interesting that God puts these two together. Because you know what? Right here you have an outline of a woman's counseling ministry. First to her husband. Then to her children. And then to any other women around her. Titus tells us, older women, teach the younger women to love your husbands. Love your children. Be good, chaste keepers at home. Well, how do you love your husband? Well, you give him wise counsel. See, the husband's the head. Yes, I said that in church. It's in the Bible. But if you're going to be a good wife to your head, you have to be a good counselor. And men, by the way, you should be seeking the counsel of your wife, and he is a fool who ignores his wife's counsel. Did I say that clear enough? Ladies? Okay, I got it. Had some nods. I didn't want to say amen. Wives must be taught to counsel their husbands, particularly by their husbands, who open the door to that counsel and to that wisdom by saying to the wife, would you give me your counsel? I have a decision to make, and I would like your counsel. Give me your counsel, and then I will make a decision. See how we kept the roles separate, but now we're together. You weren't writing this down. You should have. And then the wife should say, if there's a situation that arises where she thinks some wisdom and counsel is needed, she would say, honey, that's a good way to start. We still like being called honey. Dear one, beloved, whatever. It works, ladies. Mark me. May I give you my counsel? And then you decide whatever you will. She's not afraid. Did you remember that afraid part? And her husband trusts her. Yeah. That has to be built. That has to be trained. That has to be allowed. But it's beautiful when it is. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. Not, you dumb bum, you wasted all the money. I told you what to do and you didn't do it. How many times have I got to tell you? That's called nagging. What's wrong with you? That's not kindness. You give counsel, and then you let God teach your husband. Some of you think you're supposed to teach your husband to become a good man. No, no. You're to counsel your husband and let God teach him. God says he brings trials into our lives to train us. God will train your husband. Don't be afraid. God made an honest man out of Abram, who lied twice about his wife and sent her off with other guys. She had to trust God to train him, and you know what? God did. I've got to stop there. It almost became another sermon. C, the third reward, endurance. Endurance. She watches over the way of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She is not lazy. She manages. She's a manager. She manages time. She prioritizes her work. She is orderly. She watches over those ways. Letter D. Letter D. Another reward of being a virtuous wife. Children who bless her. Now we're to Mother's Day. Children who bless her and a husband who praises her. This is like the end game reward, ladies, and this doesn't come in the early stages of marriage. It should, but you're not a Proverbs 31 woman yet, and he's not a Proverbs 31 man. That's being created. Children who rise up, listen, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. How different than our world today, where the parents are to be blamed for every problem that the child has, and the husbands look down on the wives. Well, that's how women are. What is this thing with man caves and she sheds anyway? Man caves so the man can get away from his wife. A she shed so that she can get away from her husband. I call that a practice of idolatrous sin. Why did you get married? To be away? I was trying to get close to her, and I still am. If you've stopped doing that, you're just wrong. Get right and enjoy your wife. Enjoy your husband. That's how you're enjoyable together. You'll never be enjoyable without each other. Don't widow yourself. Or widower yourself before the time, for you will find when you are, you're going to want her back. I got to move on. E, an excellent standing among women. What? Listen to this verse. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. This is Lemuel's mom. You excel. Here's our word virtue again. You are worthy of the highest praise. Wow. The lessons learned by a virtuous wife, and then I'll answer your question. Letter A, she has learned to put beauty and charm in their place, in their proper place. Verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Here is a key to opening the box of our answer. Where do Proverbs 31 women come from? They come from faith in God. They fear the Lord. That doesn't mean they're in terror of Him, but they trust in the Lord, but they also live their lives according to a reverential, motivating awe. A reverential, motivating awe of God. They know who God is, and they revere Him, and they serve Him, and they honor Him, and then they honor their husbands and honor their family life and honor what He said they should be about. Without that, there is no Proverbs 31 woman. Without faith, which is the fear of the Lord in the Old Testament vernacular, there's no Proverbs 31 woman. Letter B, the lessons learned by a virtuous wife. First, she has learned to put beauty and charm in their proper places. Not that they're without value, but the fear of the Lord is greater. Letter B, she has learned where proper praise comes from. And it's not from the world. Listen, give her, verse 31, the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. At the highest place in the city, notice she's not praising herself. There's a proverb that says, let another's lips and not your own mouth praise you. Oh, look how well I've done. Look at how much I did. We all like to toot our own horns. But she lets her works praise her. Okay, you've held on. It's time. What's the answer to the question? Who can find a virtuous wife? Who can find a virtuous wife? Here's your answer. No one. No one, it is rhetorical, no one can find a virtuous wife because a virtuous wife is not found. You don't find them under rocks. They're not in the cabbage patches. They're not in the family, still with their parents. They're not yet. Proverbs 31, wives, a virtuous wife is made. She's not born. She's not married into it. Oh, you're married now, your Proverbs 31 wife. No, you are not. The picture here is a mature couple, established in life, wealthy in their position, going through the whole entire thing that has been built possibly upon 20, 30, 40 years of time plus. So, ladies, who can find a virtuous wife? No one. But they can be pursued. They're made by a husband and a wife working together toward the goal of being a godly husband and a virtuous wife. And you'll never find one without the other. Her husband must aid her in developing these qualities and then valuing them in her and enabling her to fear God by leading himself and his wife to the Lord. They must fear the Lord together. Together. We should have Mother's Day and Father's Day on the same day. And that's just my opinion. So there's your answer. Just keep doing and doing it together. And in the end, there will be praises. There will be blessings. There will be rejoicing. Let's pray. Father God, be with these mothers and mothers to be, and bless them. Comfort their hearts in knowing that they're not a finished product, but they're in process. Lord, I pray for them that they would not be overwhelmed by these things, but see them as qualities that they would like to have themselves. And then by your grace and mercy, Lord, help them in the power of the Holy Spirit. Give the married husbands who value these things who will help them in the pursuit. Give the non-married husbands that will value them and help them in this pursuit. Give this church the ability to value the women we have and help them in this pursuit. And Lord, may you be glorified by it, for how precious in your sight are the mothers you have made. We thank you for them, living and gone. And we thank you for those who fulfill the role of a mother, though they've never been, they still are, and can be virtuous along the way. Bless yourself with these women, I pray, O Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.